Welcome to The Money Show. I'm Bruce Whitfield, and I was speaking at a big event fairly recently at the Marriott in Melrose Arch. The headphones, I think, are quite loud. But I was speaking at the Marriott in Melrose Arch, and I noticed a sculpture of two rabbits embroiled in a tug of war, and it appealed to me no end. There was a beautiful tension in the sculpture, and you had these rabbits working, very, very hard. Big expressions of grit and determination on both of their faces. It was a beautiful piece. And then someone saw me admiring it. They said, "Have you been down the hill to the Melrose Gallery? There's a posh gallery just down the hill. There must be at least a dozen more sculptures." So I went down the hill and I then saw who the artist was. And I Googled Carol Caldwell. And I went, "This person is very interesting. You should hear more about Carol Caldwell." And I love how you came to sculpture. A bit unlike Michelangelo. Michelangelo also was a sculptor. He came very young in life, and you came slightly later in life. It all starts with a dad who loves art, and somehow that rubs off on a young Carol, does it?
Hello, Bruce.
There we go. Yeah. Yes, there we go. We've got you now. Yes. Talk to me about your dad's love of art and how that impacted you.
He loved sculpture himself. He was probably a closet sculptor, and he used to play with clay. And we lived in Magaliesburg in those days. And I remember Charles Goddard, if anyone knows him, he had he used to do pottery lessons, and my dad used to go down, and I used to go with him. And for some reason, we always went to foundries. I went to so many foundries with him and just loved going to foundries. And now I own a foundry. Well, partly own a foundry. Yeah,
we'll get there. We'll get there in just a moment, because you as a young adult, you go and join the Joburg School of Art, Ballet, Drama, and Music. Yes. And your first art form that you practice, I'm assuming professionally, is music.
No, I did it for a year, and then I'm a twin. I got into art school for music, and then my twin sister was doing art, and I used to. At the end of you've really got to practice really, really hard every day to keep up your good work. And then my sister used to have this at the end of the year. She had a record of her year's work. And I just thought, there's no way I'm staying here. I'm going to go do art. And now she's a scientist and I'm an artist. She's a doctor in pharmacology and I'm an artist. Yeah.
There's another interesting story. How on earth did she go from studying art into pharmacology, for goodness sake? I mean, I know this is about you.
Yeah, a bit of a side note. Somebody, we say in a twin there's a right and a left brain, and we're a classic example of that. She's whichever is the art, can't remember which one is which. But yeah, we did matric in art, both of us did quite well, and then she even got into art after school, and I thought, I'd rather do that. And she stayed at home with my mom she had a job that she hadn't finished with, and she had to make a greenhouse, and then I landed up going in her place to art school, and now she's a scientist and I'm an artist. It really was a bit mixed up, but here I am as an artist.
I just need to clarify something here. Yes. Because we often hear these stories of, either women getting confused by male twins, or male twins getting confused, or maybe just all genders getting confused. Yes. But if you've got twins who are identical, they can sort of double for each other. So did you go and double for your twin sister at art school?
No, we were both at art school. We did it together. We did art. We were both at art school together. But we are very, very similar. Actually, somebody came up to me yesterday and said, "Hello, Lynn." And I'm actually Carol. Do you mean Lynn? So we're very, very similar. And and she's very creative, and I can be a little bit academic. So we could both go both ways. And so, I'm definitely am the artist of the two of us. And I've always wanted to do art, and I can't help myself but produce all day long in all sorts of things. I make all sorts of things all the time.
We'll get to the sculptures in just a moment, because we're building. We're building here. We're building here, Carol. Exactly. You do have a connection to Michelangelo, in that you also did spend time focusing on iconography and painting icons, at least two Orthodox churches, as far as I can work out. Yes. Michelangelo, of course, spent a lot of time on his back painting the Sistine Chapel. Mm. There is, again, a small bit of a parallel there.
Humble to put in the same category.
Well, you know, I'm building a picture here. What was your connection to Greek Orthodoxy, and how did you get to paint?
I converted to Greek Orthodoxy when about 30 years ago now, and I actually had I did ceramics, and I lost my factory, and I was really hurt by that, and I had created so much in my I used to create for one of the I had my own factory producing hand painted ceramics in those days. We used to hand paint 4,000 units a day, and I lost it. Sure. And it was probably the hardest thing of my life at the time, and I was done creating. I used to make all, and I had lost my sense of what I wanted, and iconography is healing and also paint by number. You have to listen rather than create, and it took me 10 years to get over that, and I paint for those that are Orthodox and understand. I painted the Triumph Church and the Archbishopric, and a lot of people own some of my icons, but it was just a healing time for me. It was 10 years of extraordinary healing. It was a very, very nice time, but I tried to paint one the other day, and I just can't sit down long enough now to actually paint another icon. But I have to, for my children.
Isn't it amazing though, isn't it? I mean, to get so immersed in something because you find it necessary to do so. I really don't mean to open the gash of an old wound.
No, I'm healed. You can open what you want.
Well, that's a relief. What happened to the ceramics business? I mean, to have that much of a blow that takes a decade to get over is significant.
Yeah, I built it up slowly to a very, very big factory, and it's maybe was foolish at the time. It was a money eating monster, and I didn't have enough money to feed the monster. And it's a long story, but it was also in the time that a lot of ceramic places were closed. Rosenthal closed, Wedgwood closed. It was in the time that the industry was moving to the east, and a lot of industries were closing around. It was in that time, and I just chose the wrong field. I was in exactly the wrong. The Chinese have pretty much monopolized a lot of things, but especially ceramics. It's an age old, and ceramics has pretty much moved to the east completely. And I was in that time, and I'd had chosen the wrong field at the time. I should have done sculpture from the beginning.
Do you go then from iconography to sculpture? Because you then you seem to sort of find yourself at a point where you start looking at you start looking at power plays, and you start looking at hierarchies, and you start thinking to yourself, a lot of this stuff is really silly. A lot of the stuff about hierarchies, and anybody who works in corporate understands this very well.
A lot of my sculptures
and you start playing again.
I was also very angry. It was a very bumpy road to get me here, and I don't want to dwell too much on it, but I was in a particularly hard marriage, and I was very, very angry, and a lot of that earlier work was angry. And at that time, if somebody annoyed me, I had the very pleasure of making them a very lovely sculpture. So a lot of those sculptures are owned, although they have names behind them. For me, they don't know who they are, but things would happen and I would make them a sculpture. So it's a wonderful therapy to be able to make a sculpture for somebody in their ignorance.
It's your version of Carly Simon, isn't it? You're so
vain. A hero. In that time I was like it was just wonderful. I still love them. I have more of those sculptures in my house than the ones I do at the moment, because they're just so hilarious to me, half of them. Yeah.
It's something that's so deeply meaningful, and each time you look at it, you also, I suppose, remind yourself how far you've come from
a very
difficult time.
I've climbed a lot of steps, and I'm deeply, deeply grateful for where I am at the moment. Deeply grateful.
Take me then into the considerably more, I don't know if it's more complicated, it certainly seems more industrial process of going from something that requires you to conceptualize something in your mind, possibly then replicate what's in your mind on paper, and you've got that skill, we know this, and then make a wax mold and then turn that into an enormous bronze casting, or smaller bronze castings. You've got multiple sizes of these things, but you've gone full into a completely different sphere, which is another Michelangelo, into sculpting. He did marble, and you're doing bronze.
I was at Wits Tech doing ceramics, but I excelled in the sculpture side. And back then, I said when I was 40, I would start sculpting, and I should have just done it 20 years earlier. It would have been easier, but it did happen when I was 40. And then I just worked with clay, and so I'd then I was producing clay, and then I used to get the foundries to make the bronze, the molds. But I'd learned how to make molds when I studied ceramics. I was trained in that. So it was a very easy transition for me to learn how to make molds and the rubber and all it's a very difficult thing to do, but it was easy for me to learn it. And then at the moment I work in either clay or wax, and I like clay. I like the mud. I like to play in mud, and then I'll make the mold, and then in the foundry they'll take it on. And the best part about a sculpture thing is that you number them. The additions are there, so it's a very nice silent. It's a passive income. Mm. So I make the original, and then sometimes the editions sell out quickly. But the sculptures I'm making at the moment will probably only the editions will finish. Well, hopefully quickly, but in reality, in about 2-3 years' time, those editions will be finished. So it's a very, very nice passive income. Yeah, it's a
fascinating tale. And what I love so much about Carol Caldwell's tale is how she's picked herself up from rock bottom and how she's evolved her skill set through multiple genres of art, if you like, and at the age of 40 gets into sculpture in a way that brings her great relief and joy. And as I walked through the Melrose Gallery exhibition in Melrose Arch, it brought considerable joy to me. Subsequently, of course, paid more attention to the sculptures that are dotted all around Franschhoek, and I'm sure dotted all over the place. There are oversized rabbits, Easter Bunny type characters, or maybe the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. There are character frogs. I nearly burst into tears. There's a big frog with his arm around a little frog, father and son sort of picture. We'll talk more about those, Carol, in just a moment. I'm talking to the sculptor Carol Caldwell this evening. Do yourself a favor. If you need a good night's sleep, Google the images of Carol Caldwell's sculptures. They will make you very, very happy. I promise you. We'll talk about those more with her. I've just been looking at the images of the sculptures once again, Carol Caldwell, who's a sculptor, telling us this evening how she makes money. Where did you hit on this idea of these outlandishly huge, playful, joyful sculptures? Because especially considering the tough times that you've been through.
I'm Trent Reed. I bumped into Trent Reed by chance.
Who is Trent Reed?
Trent Reed is, well, for me, the guru of art in South Africa. He's the most knowledgeable person of art in South Africa. He's one of the, from the Reed Gallery. Trent Reed has
The Everard Reed
Reeds. He has Neisner Art. He isn't part of Everard. Anyway, Trent Reed for me, the guru of art. He's phenomenal. And he's an incredible talent scout for art in the country. He picks up a lot of the artists that get well known today are scouted by him. And I met him, and he just just said, stop making these angry sculptures. Just stop it.
Joy.
And all had titles, and they were wonderful. They were just such fun. And then we were like just trying to. And he asked if he could mentor me at that stage, and that was just straight from above for me. We were just like playing for genres and just trying to find something that would work in the industry, and then. I was trying to make children at that stage, and he, one day in one sentence he said, "Look at Alice in Wonderland," and then he went away, and then he used to come and see my work, and then I just made one rabbit, and I didn't even tell him I was making. He came and I went, "Da da da, look what I made," and the rest is history, and it worked, and I just love to see people smile when they see my work. I'm busy making a hippo that people just like crack up laughing when they see it, so I can't wait to get that one on. They bring joy, and they bring joy.
They do.
Yeah, they really do, and for me too. And that I like not to put my face anywhere, so I love to sit quietly and watch people look at my work. I've taken lots of photos of people with my work. They don't know it's me. It's my big joy. I'll sit in and they bring joy. And I don't know if that one sculpture at Melrose on that bench, there's a rabbit on the bench, like a psychologist.
Yes.
It gives me no more joy than you get old people just snuggling into that rabbit. And I think they don't get touched, and so they go and get touched by the rabbit. And it is extraordinary. It's therapy. I made him as a psychologist, and he really is. It's very hard to get a picture of that sculpture without somebody on the bench. I have to often sit for a long time just to wait for the bench to be empty so I can have a photo of it. It's It is extraordinary that how people just, they just gravitate to them, and it gives them.
Yeah. And who are your customers? Are these individuals who've got a bit of money and want some joy in their gardens? Are they corporate clients? I mean, you can't put a 3-meter rabbit in your. I mean, there are houses in Saxonwold that can accommodate that, but they're not common.
You'll be amazed at how many big sculptures that leave our shores and are in our gardens in this country. 5-meter sculptures. It's amazing. I think South Africa is becoming a destination for buying bronzes specifically. We do extraordinarily well. My work, a lot of the collectors don't like to say that but I'm in most of the big collections, certainly South African and all over the world. They go all over the place. My big rabbit, I'm busy making it bronze at the moment. If people go to my Facebook page, they can watch the journey of making it in bronze. And, that's going to go to Sierra Leone of all places. I'm sorry, Cote d'Ivoire.
What?
It's going to Cote d'Ivoire, one. Yeah. But they go all over. They go all over the place. And there's a lot of sculptors that are selling a lot of big sculptures from our country. There's a lot.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, we're a destination. I was speaking to the galleries just this last week, and they need more. They need bronzes. They just sell. And people will come, and a lot of them are actually impulse buyers. They'll come and they're not cheap. And people will buy a few at a time, and they'll collect them. And I have quite a few people collecting my work from all over the world. In some serious, serious collections, people with a lot of very, very big art collectors there. And other people that just resonate with one, and they'll save up for years and have it at their pride of joy. I like them in the garden, but people put them all over. But and it's their pride and joy. And I'm sort of making a few little ones at the moment. And one of the gallery in Franschhoek was telling me, because you have to have across the board to feed the market. And what they're saying is extraordinary at the moment is that the youngsters are buying those little ones. They're more affordable. They're still not cheap. And they said that the joy they get in these youngsters holding their first bronze and the excitement. And she says they get such a kick out of seeing these youngsters. So there's a whole new market of people that will hopefully start just letting their collections grow. And so it's
Carol. Wonderful. You bring joy. You really do. And I'm delighted. And thank you for sharing what got you to this point. Yeah. And it really is it made me so happy. And I just loved the sculptures, and I loved the scale, and I loved the cheekiness of them, and I loved the intimacy of them. And yes, the psychologist on the bench was gorgeous. Oh, the walrus. I haven't seen the walrus before.
Well, he's gorgeous. He's angry. He's a grumpy old man.
Relatable. Relatable, you see. There we go. Carol Caldwell. Thank you so much for coming in. Carol Caldwell is an astonishing South African artist. Please Google her. Google the images. Pick a favorite and post it on your socials. It'll make you happy. Make Carol happy. Make us all happy.